up on the platform. I guess since you've been sitting for a half hour, do you need a half time stretch? I'll tell you just a little bit about myself before I get started. As far as I'm from the west of Cleveland. In fact, I'm in fellowship at Westlake Bible Fellowship. And if any of you know Loretta Palmer, that's where she attends. So I'm from over in that area. I was not able to bring my wife and children with me, but I do have a family, and they're back at home, a little boy, 5 years old, and a two-year-old, and a four-month-old, little girl. So two boys and a girl. So maybe the next time we're here, we can bring them with us. We definitely have an opportunity to serve a great God, and He's given us a wonderful gift in His Word. So maybe we'll take our remaining minutes here and open the Word. If you could turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And let's read beginning in verse 20. Just to set the scene a little bit for you, this is Jesus walking with his disciples, and in verse 20 we pick up with a new paragraph that says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to remembrance said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Have faith in God." Notice that phrase, "have faith in God." Verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." Recall that we mentioned the word faith in verse 22, and now in verse 23 we start to get some a contrast definition, not to doubt in his heart. And then we get in the following phrase, we get a synonym, "but shall believe," or "shall have faith, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." In verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when thou stand and praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses." As we read that account of Scripture, and we understand Jesus gives the instruction to have faith in God, then he also says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you should have them. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about tonight, is faith as a broad topic, but then to maybe narrow that down just a little bit further, our faith in prayer. And what role does faith play in prayer? What role does faith play in our Christian lives and in everyday life? And in order to do that, I'd like to turn back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look at four occurrences that are recorded here in the gospel that use faith. Faith is an element in each one of these. Actually, they're miracles that the Lord uses, and they're all of people that have come to the Lord and made a request and made it in faith. So as we consider our prayer in faith, we'll want to take some examples and maybe some principles from each one of these situations that are given. There are four given, and I'd like to read through each of the four and then make some comment on them. So we'll skip around in the chapter a little bit in order to get all four. We'll begin in verse 2. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. "And behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith." Remember, we're talking about faith here, and here's the first instance. These men bring their friend who's sick, paralyzed. "Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins have been forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the sick of palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house." Scan down to verse 18, where we see the second miracle. "And when he," this is Jesus, "spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Notice the word faith is not used here, but the man's faith is shown in his request. "Come and lay your hand upon her, that she shall live." Verse 19 says, "Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Skip down to verse 23, where the account continues. "And when Jesus came to the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maiden is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, and he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land." For the third miracle, go back to verse 20. And we pick up in verse 20, it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him," behind Jesus, "and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Then lastly, we'll look at verse 27. Verse 27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open." May the Lord bless his word as it's read and grant us understanding as now as we look at these examples here from Scripture and try to learn about faith and also try to understand what a prayer given in faith can do. As we look at these things and each one of these examples, I'd like to give you six principles concerning faith. And then they may very well apply to prayer, a prayer given in faith. Remembering that each one of these was a request made to Jesus, a request made in faith. The very first situation, we're giving more detail in other places in Scripture, and the other Gospels give us more detail, but Jesus was teaching in a room or in a place, and these four men bring a friend of theirs that is paralyzed. And while Jesus is teaching, they get his attention. Of course, we're not told here in Matthew, but we know They get his attention by letting this man down from the roof. Now, if tonight, while we were here, and a man started to drop from the roof, that would get our attention, wouldn't it? Not only would it get our attention, but that would be somewhat of an interruption, wouldn't it? It would be an interruption for someone to drop down into our meeting here tonight. And we'll want to notice that each time that Jesus does something here, at least in the first three, he's interrupted, so to speak. And the first time is when he's teaching and the man drops down from the roof. And Jesus says, he stops evidently what he's doing, and he says, he saw their faith. And then he heals the man. And then as we picked up in verse 18, we realized that there again he says, and while he talked about these things, he was just explaining the parable of the old wine being put into new wineskins, or the old cloth being sewn to the new garment. And while he spake these things, a man came, and we find out it was Jairus, and he was making a request. Interrupted Jesus while he was talking, but nonetheless made his request. And then Jesus hears what he has to say and decides, yes, I will follow you. And while he's going, the woman touches his garment. Yet a third interruption. All of these people came to Jesus in faith. And I'd like to say our first principle is that faith always gets his attention. We never come to him and interrupt him, for he sees our faith and he's willing to help us as we need. Faith always gets his attention. We might ask ourselves the question, does our faith get his attention? We maybe examine our own lives and say, have I gotten the Lord's attention? It's not hard to get his attention, but sometimes we neglect taking the time to call out to him in prayer. So faith always gets his attention. And then realize that as the man has come and he's sick of palsy, or he's paralyzed from the, we don't know if he was a full paraplegic or just what, but the second principle that I'd like to give you is that faith is willing to deal with the root issues. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with this man getting healed of palsy or being healed of paralysis? You'll notice we're not given a lot of detail, even in the other Gospels. We don't know why the man was paralyzed. We don't know as if it was a result of sin, but it is safe to say that any disease is as a result of the fall of man, the introduction of sin into the world, and because of that, every man must come to a knowledge of his Savior and receive the free gift of salvation before he can go to be with the Lord. So every person has to deal with the sin issue. Well, we don't know if this man was he was ill because of his sin or just what, but we do know that he was a sinner. And notice how the Lord deals with him. He says, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sin is forgiven you." Jesus deals with the root issue, doesn't he? He deals with the root issue of this man. Now, let's just entertain a thought for a moment that maybe this man's illness was a result of his sin. It was a result of a sin maybe in an earlier childhood or maybe in his teen years, a consequence of his sin. And do you think it might be possible that if this man's illness was a result of sin, would he be scared to approach the Lord? Would he be scared to approach the Lord? He needs to be healed. He needs to walk. He cannot do that of himself. He knows the Lord has the ability to do that for him. But if he says to himself, he looks at his own condition, he says, who am I to stand before my Maker? Who am I to stand before Jesus, the Messiah? Who am I, a sinner, to stand before him? Could these thoughts have been running through his head? And could these thoughts have actually have prevented him from going prior? We don't know, but it's possible. Faith is willing to deal with the root issues. Is it possible in our own lives when we, as Christians, break the fellowship with our Lord because of sin? Sin undealt with in our lives, does it keep us away from Him? Faith is willing to deal with the root issues. I even have to wonder if, as the Lord said, be of good cheer. Why did He say that first? He told this man to be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Your sin has been forgiven you. And isn't that how the Lord deals with us? Every time we approach Him, He will deal mercifully with us. He's proved His mercy by giving His life. He's proved His grace. He's proved His love. Faith is willing to deal with the root issues. Notice as we go and move on to Jairus as he comes before Jesus. Any who have children must empathize with this man as his 12-year-old daughter lies dying. And even we find out from the other Gospels that he gets a second report, don't bother the master, she's already dead. But Jairus is instructed by the Lord, just believe. He had already made his request in faith. Jesus, if you would only lay your hand upon her, I know that she would live. But interesting, before he ever makes his request, what do we see? A certain ruler came and worshipped him. Some of your Bibles may say, and fell down before him. And it doesn't imply that he fell down begging to make his request. No, but worshipped him. Faith worships. True faith worships. Now, we've got to realize that Jairus, what happened? Why would he worship? He knew who he was in front of. He knew who he had come to see. He knew this person had the ability to grant his request, and he worshipped him. Sometimes that's one of the more important elements in our worship, is to realize who we are before, who the Lord is. Faith worships. We know that faith must have an object. Faith must have an object, and that's where we get our fourth principle, is that faith's object is Jesus. Jairus worshipped Jesus. He knew who he was before, and he knew that he should have his faith in Jesus. And faith's object is Jesus. I don't know if any of you ever had the chance to hear or meet Vance Havner, but he was one who traveled around quite a bit, and I'm originally from North Carolina, and so was he, so he's got to be a pretty good guy. But Vance Havner, in his travels, he would oftentimes hear people make a comment, I've lost faith in prayer. Just lost faith in prayer. I've tried that. It's not for me. I've lost faith in it. And he said, as he traveled around, he would hear that time and time again, and it caused him to make this comment or to have this thought that as he listened to those folks, he realized that what they're saying, I've lost faith in prayer, indicates a strong misconception about prayer. In fact, he made this comment, and sometimes he would speak in words that were hard to understand, but see if you catch this. Faith in prayer and prayer in faith are two different things. Faith in prayer and prayer in faith are two different things. Faith's object is Jesus. If we had faith in prayer, we've got our faith in the wrong thing. If we have our faith in Jesus, then it's in the right thing. And a request can be made correctly with faith in Him. So faith always gets His attention. It's willing to deal with the root issues. Faith worships, and faith's object is Jesus. Next, we have the woman who is sick for 12 years with this disease. And if we could maybe just try to imagine for a moment what it would be like to be sick for 12 years, not knowing the extent or the details of her illness, but I just have to imagine with an illness this long that she's not, you know, just full of stamina and vigor. She's probably weakened by the illness. And yet she realizes and hears that Jesus is coming through, and she knows that this is a person who can heal her. She knows that this is a person who can meet her need, and she has faith to go out among the people in the crowds. And by this time, as the verses had indicated before, Jesus' fame spread out through all the land. I have to imagine there was quite a crowd of people around him. Not only crowds of people, but the disciples were traveling with him. There was 12 men right there, and they stayed close to him, probably trying to push back the crowd. And yet this woman fights her way through the crowd and touches his garment. Faith perseveres. True faith presses on and perseveres. This woman, I think, is an excellent example, because as we read the scripture, the scripture says that she said within herself, "If I may only touch his garment." And Jesus says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Ladies, I'd like to say to you as a word of encouragement tonight, as we look at the New Testament, we understand that the principles in the New Testament instruct us that the women should be silent in a group such as this for prayer. This lady's prayer was a silent prayer. A silent prayer made in faith. And the Lord honored that. Ladies, be encouraged that the silent prayers don't go unnoticed. May I also say to you men, this doesn't mean that you should always pray silently. Take the opportunity, take your responsibility to pray audibly in leadership role. So we see faith perseveres. Faith perseveres. And as we're thinking about prayer as well, and the element that faith plays in prayer, that many times we pray, we have to keep praying. Many times we don't see the result right away, but we have to keep praying. This woman had sought doctor to doctor to doctor for 12 years. She kept on going till Jesus grants her request. Faith perseveres. Next, we'll look at the two men that were blind. Matthew is the only gospel that gives us this account in verse 27. And we know these two men approached him crying, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came unto him, and Jesus said unto him, I'll just paraphrase for you. "Do you guys believe that I can do this?" Jesus says to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" Our principle that we get from that is that faith is tested. These men's faith was tested. In our life as Christians, our faith is going to be tested. In a time of testing, what better thing can we do than to call out to the Lord? What a better time to have communion with Him. As our testing, may it draw us back closer to the Lord, or may it keep us in harmony with Him. Your faith will be tested. What a great time to exercise this privilege of prayer. Prayer. Jesus said to His disciples as He walked beside them, "Have faith in your God," as we read before in Mark. And then He instructs them further that the desires of your heart will be granted if you believe in what you're asking for. If you believe in God in the request that you're making. And He has the power to do it. So we review the principles that we've been thinking about, that faith always gets His attention. Faith is willing to deal with the root issues. Faith worships. Faith's object is Jesus. Faith perseveres. And faith is tested. As we kind of wrap things up, I'd like to have you look at verse 29. Verse 29 of chapter 9. And this verse contains a phrase in it that really challenges me. As Jesus touched these blind men's eyes, He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." The accounts that we looked at before, we see that Jesus saw the paralytic man's faith and his friend's faith. And then as He came to Jairus, He saw Jairus making his request and He decided to go. And then as he saw the woman's faith, as He felt her touch, and He said to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." These blind men, He asked them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" He tests their faith. And then He says to them, "According to thy faith, be it unto you." I can't help but wonder if of the two men there, if they did not believe, the request would not be granted. Could it have been possible that of the two men, one was healed and one not? Very possible. Here the Lord lets them be healed according to the measure of their faith. And we're told that both of them were healed. But here's the challenge. That as we, as Christians in our prayer life, If we were to ask ourselves, if our prayers were to be answered according to our faith, just as these two blind men, if our prayers were to be answered according to our faith, if the Lord would hear our prayer and say, "Men and women, according to your faith, so shall it be unto you," what would the result be? What would the result be of our prayers that have been given? Have they been given in faith? These principles that we have can help us, and may we never neglect calling upon the Lord and utilizing this resource of prayer. Let's just, brothers, conclude in prayer. Is that okay? Let's do so. Father, we do thank you. We thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word. Father, we pray that we might have the faith of these ones mentioned here. May they be an example to us. This paralytic man, Father, may we pray in the faith that he had. May we find the faith of this father who comes asking for his daughter to be healed. May we have the faith of this woman who says within herself, if I should only touch his garment, I shall be healed. Father, challenge us with the faith of these men who were healed according to their faith in Jesus, that he would grant the request that they might see. We pray that these things would challenge us, and we pray that you would be honored, Father, by our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.